Welcome to the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast. We are back. I am Mitch, and this is Katie.
Hey.
And we are here to talk about choices, making choices in light of eternity, and specifically what choices we make regarding TV, watching TV, what we watch, how we watch it, when we watch it, and all the good stuff that surrounds that.
Yeah. So today's episode is going to be jam-packed because I have been doing a lot of research for Heavenly Minded Mom, which is releasing soon, and I'm putting together a companion journal kind of last minute because they had to cut out the journaling space, which I was kind of attached to, but, you know, it was getting kind of long. Apparently, I'm verbose, but I've been researching quotes to include in the journal, and I have found so many amazing quotes from thought leaders, Christian thought leaders over the past several many decades and even centuries. So we're going to be throwing in some quotes, tons of scripture references. We're going to be looking at TV watching in light of eternity and also possible redeeming aspects of TV watching. So this isn't just going to be all about you should never watch TV ever again if you're a Christian. Not at all. We just want to give you some perspective so that you can evaluate and make wise choices. And then we're even going to end with some very practical next steps for how you can move forward with all that we've talked about today and all that you might now be thinking about. So I hope you're ready.
Here we go. I'm still trying to figure out what verbose means, but that's irrelevant. All right. So point number one that I want to bring up is time matters. Why does time matter? Because God has only given us so much time on this beautiful, wonderful earth and so much time in this life. And what we do with our time is important, and it makes a difference in how we relate to God and how we relate to those around us.
We were made to know God, and we were made to do good works, which God created in advance for us to do. So there is actually a purpose for every day that we are here on this earth, and it's not our own entertainment. The thing we have to realize is that time adds up. So if you spend 2 to 3 hours every day watching television, that's adding up into thousands of hours over the course of a life. I guess that'd be about 1,000 a year. So if you live to be 80,000 approximate hours that you devoted to just mind-numbing entertainment, watching television. At the end of your life, when you're standing before the judgment seat of God, all of that is going to be meaningless. You won't have any reward for that. There won't be most likely any fruit to show, most likely.
My last point with time and TV is this. The less TV I watch, the more I don't miss it. If that makes any sense at all. I've gone through many different stages in our marriage and in my life of TV watching and media consumption. There's been multiple times where I've just taken a fast from watching TV. And when I do that, I find myself not missing it. It's just something you have to commit to and something that you have to make happen. And when I've done that, I think the rewards have been much greater than anything I've missed out on.
One thing that I've noticed, we have Netflix subscription, and we watch Netflix fairly frequently. We don't have a TV, so that's our only TV access besides YouTube, I guess. You like some YouTube channels. But several years ago, we watched a series together that had, I don't know how many seasons, like a lot.
Five
whole seasons, and we were so into it, and it was like I didn't have the self-control to overcome it. I needed to be doing other things. I needed to be sleeping more, but I was so into this show, I just had to see it through till the very end, and I didn't like that feeling of lack of self-control and kind of being addicted to something so that I was making poor choices. So,
been there, done that myself. I remember one time Katie asking me, why are you watching that show? I'm like, I don't even know. I just started it. Now I need to finish it. And that was an eye-opening experience. But go on.
So one change I have made, it has been years since I have watched a series. I will watch movies, but I will not start a series because I don't trust myself to moderate that. And I am not missing anything. Like Mitch said, I feel zero void in my life. I actually feel so incredibly pleased with myself that I'm not into any shows. So time matters. This is an eternal equation, and you're here for a purpose, and how you spend your time, your hours, your precious few hours that God has given you is either going to influence the kingdom of God, push you deeper into relationship with God and store up treasures in heaven, or it's going to be washed away at the end of your life if it's wrapped up in the world, which many times entertainment, TV watching would be. A verse that has really impacted me is 1 Corinthians 7:29 through 31. And this is one that I write about in Heavenly Minded Mom. But it says, "What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away." So you see the concept of eternity, the fact that the time is short, the fact that this world in its present form is passing away has implications. We are living in an urgency, in an eternal urgency. So we aren't going to be engrossed in the things of the world. We're going to have a healthy detachment from them so that we can be heavenly minded and that God can work through us in the relationships within our home, outside our walls, the ways that we are productive and serving others, the ways that we are working hard for his glory. And we need to make sure that we are making a conscious, intentional choice with our time.
All right. So first point, time matters. Our time matters. Point number two, our minds matter also. And what I mean by that is we serve a holy God, a God that is perfect in every single way. And we have an obligation to keep our minds pure and holy.
I remember being at a women's Bible study a few years ago, and we were talking about this. And I remember one person saying, "Well, I would watch such and such on TV." I don't even remember what it was, some kind of generally accepted family show, "but I would never watch Real Housewives." And someone else piped up and said, "Well, I do. It's a guilty pleasure, but I watch Real Housewives. I do. I really like it, but I would never read 50 Shades of Grey." And then someone else at the table popped up and said, "I read 50 Shades of Grey and I think it's totally fine." And it just really struck me in that moment how, you know, you could say everybody has a different conviction, and maybe in some realm or level that might be true because God might be at a different point in his revelation of himself to them. But what I have noticed and seen is that when you grow in your understanding of God's holiness, what you are willing to tolerate as your entertainment is going to narrow very much.
There's a great verse that talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 1. "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." That right there is a very convicting verse, and one that makes it abundantly clear what God's expectations are for us. And for me, that applies not only to media, but everything we do in our lives. But for TV, that just means I need to consider, truly consider, what would God want for me? And what is the advantage of watching this movie, or what is the advantage of watching this TV show? And is it really honoring to God, or is it something that is slowly corroding away my inner Christ-likeness?
So one of the quotes I mentioned that I wanted to bring up, I have just been marinating on this, and there's so much here, but Jim Wallace said, "Evil is the quiet acceptance of that which we know to be wrong. Non-cooperation with evil is the Christian duty." Now, for you and the types of shows that you watch, I don't know what this means, but I feel like it is a big deal when we cooperate with evil by quietly accepting it, especially when it's not like this is a crude person in our life that we're trying to love. That's completely different. This is just entertainment. It's just us at home. And what are we amusing ourselves with and pouring into ourselves when God is a holy God and he's called us to have minds that are alert and fully sober, to be holy as he is holy? And are we taking that seriously? Are we living in fear of the Lord that God is holy? I don't know. But it's a question we should ask ourselves.
Absolutely, 100%. So, in respect of time here, let's keep moving on. So the next point we want to talk about is that relationships matter. There are ways to build your relationship through watching TV because it can help you relate to somebody that you know. So maybe we both watch a TV show and then we're talking about it and somehow I can bring that around and talk about the gospel or whatever. And that can be good, yes, maybe. But to me, there's more I can do with a relationship and with them my time than watching an hour-long TV show so at lunch the next day I can talk to somebody about it and maybe possibly get somewhere that has a spiritual turn to it and put that in the conversation. I'd rather be spending my time figuring out how can I spend more time with that person so I can pour into them at a deeper level. Personally, that's something that I find is really important, is spending time with people instead of finding a way to relate to them. Let's actually build those experiences together and have memories and common bond and common experience that we can build on.
Yeah, I know a lot of married couples, that's what they do together at the end of the day. They watch TV together and that's their time together. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think it can be a positive thing. And we're going to go into that more here in a little bit. Mitch and I used to do that every single night. And we stopped about a year ago. So now we don't have that way to bond in our lives anymore. So do you think our relationship has suffered or do you think it's been strengthened? It has been strengthened. And beyond that, we are paying more attention to our children and our children have more access to us now that we're not watching TV as much. And these are the things that actually matter because the thing is people are eternal. Their souls are eternal. And we have this amazing responsibility to exemplify Christ in our marriage by the way we love and honor and serve and lift each other up and just create that unity. And then we have a responsibility to complete the Great Commission and disciple our children to know the Lord. And many times what we inadvertently teach them is to numb out their lives with entertainment for hours a day. I don't think that's really God's best for any of us.
All right, point number four, here we go. I've introduced the last 3 points. Sounds like I'm a genius, and you've talked a lot recently, so why don't you keep talking about point number four here?
Satan is cunning. He is a prowling lion. He is a deceiver. And the truth of the matter is that he has a foothold in Hollywood and in our media outlets. He wants to normalize and glamorize sin because if he gets you to follow through, then he can thereby destroy your life. And this might be a subtlety or it might be really overt, but Hollywood wants us to believe it's okay to take revenge or we deserve this or that or our sexual activity and choices. You know, it should be based on love and not on covenant. And if a marriage is, you know, not all it used to be, then it's okay to just bail out. Our morality within our culture has very much begun to crumble just through the influence of Hollywood. And it's so deceptive. It really makes things seem okay that God calls sin and it glamorizes it. So I think that we need to be extremely careful with what we are putting into our own minds, not to mention the minds of our children.
I wholeheartedly agree and back up everything you just said. And in fact, the Bible backs this up in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This verse was hugely impactful as a child because my mom had it on the wall in our living room. Fact.
Yeah. You know, I memorized this verse at some point in my younger life, and it is probably one of the single most verses that I quote to myself in my head. Whenever I'm just struggling with different things in my thought life or fearing or whatever it might be, I tell myself this, and I really give myself permission to let go of things that might be dragging me down or I might be stewing on. But you know what? What we put in matters. And that's why we have been given this exhortation to put true, noble, right, pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy, admirable things into our minds. Can you say that about the television shows that you're subjecting yourself to? They might be 100% fine. And this is between you and God. But we just want you to know that God is calling you to something deeper, greater, and more eternal. And you need to start partnering with Him today to get yourself in a position to be sensitive to His Spirit and to be used and useful in His kingdom. And it happens by transforming and renewing our minds.
Moving on to the next point. Idleness is a bad thing. Rest is a good thing. God created rest. When God created the world, He rested on day number 7. And He did that as an example for us so that we would know the importance and the value of taking rest. So my question for you is your TV watching creating idleness, or is it something that is restful, restoring your soul? That's a great question to ask yourself when you find yourself sitting down on a Tuesday night or Wednesday morning or whenever you're doing this and watching TV. Is this something that's just making me idle so I'm not actually accomplishing anything? Or is it just helping me rest and rejuvenate and become a better person so that I'm not overwhelmed and overstressed and over?
So I'm reading through the Bible in a year. I rolled out that challenge here on the podcast, and I know, well, we rolled it out together, actually.
Totes. Thanks for remembering I was there.
But I'm way ahead because I've been reading the Bible in the
Overachiever.
During the time I would normally watch TV, and I'm not doing that. I'm choosing to read the Bible. I've got tons of time, so I'm ahead. But one thing that really struck me in the book of Leviticus, when God is giving the law and He's explaining all the different ordinances and feasts and celebrations in great detail, Leviticus 16:29-31 says, "This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or foreigner residing among you, because on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a day of Sabbath rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance." This is what's striking me. Sabbath rest was about denial of self in order to acknowledge the holiness of God. It was an expression of self-control, not a lack of self-control. Idleness is when we're allowing our work to go by the wayside and we're lacking self-control.
So Katie touched on this, but we teach our bodies how to rest. We set the rhythm and the expectation with our habits, right? That's what she was talking about. So a great question to ask yourself, is TV interfering with the good work/rest rhythms? What else?
Are we staying up too late? This is something that has been true for me.
No, it's really interesting because Katie has a different rhythm than I do. So I can stay up like an hour later than her, and I have no problem getting up the next morning, possibly earlier than her, and being fine throughout the day, whereas she needs to get to bed early. So it's important for her not to try to stay up with me and watch TV. Instead, maybe she spends that time, like she does right now, reading her Bible and then going to bed at the appropriate hour for her. And that is really healthy. So maybe that's a question you need to ask yourself. Am I staying up really late and not being as rejuvenated over the long course of a beautiful evening with 8 hours of rest?
Okay, let's be honest. 9, 10.
Anyway, That's a question you can ask yourself.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, the thing we are actually doing to rest, we're watching TV, that's how we rest, unwind, relax, is actually the thing that's making us tired, because it's sabotaging our sleep when we lack the self-control to turn it off at an appropriate time, whatever time that might be for our own body clock.
So we spent all this time bashing TV. It's the worst thing ever. It's terrible. And now we're going to bring it back to, is there anything that's actually redeeming in TV? And you're going to kick this one off, because I think you have a good point for point number one. And my point number two is great, so I'll do that one.
Oh, sweet. Okay. So Mitch actually already touched on this, but we actually heard a speaker who came to our church several years ago and was talking about being a culture maker and being present in culture in order to reach culture with the gospel. And God had put it on his heart to watch this certain show that he had friends or colleagues that were watching and discussing, so that he was able to enter into the conversation and actually connect the gospel to that TV series. And he was actively using it to share the gospel in the lives of these people. So I wouldn't use this as an excuse for yourself or to enable yourself if you're not really using it that way. But God might actually intentionally call you to watch TV so that you can be a part of culture. I don't know.
And I love to use TV for learning stuff. Heck, I remodeled our house. I mean, I did so much stuff to our house. And a great resource for that was watching YouTube videos. And that was somewhat redeeming for me, because I saved us a lot of money by doing all this work ourselves. And that is great. And I still, to this day, love to learn stuff. Now, I talked about this, I think, on a previous podcast, but sometimes I get so involved in wanting to learn things about random, non-important stuff that I spend time learning on that instead of becoming wiser and knowing more about God. So that can be a bad thing if you take it too far, which sometimes I do, but it can also be a good thing because you're learning new things. That's good.
It makes me happy. It delights a certain part of my heart when I look over and see him watching an in-depth video review of different kinds of drills or, you know, something like that, because I do reap the benefits of all your handy hard work. And God has called us to work with our hands. I think sometimes that's what TV robs us. I've been reading the Little House on the Prairie series with my children. And you see in that time period, over 100 years ago, I think it was in the later 1800s, they didn't have TV. So they had other ways of relaxing. The dad would sit up at night playing his fiddle, or he would be doing woodwork with his hands. The mom would be sitting in a rocking chair, rocking her babies, or sewing or quilting. There were just really sweet ways that people were relaxing and also being productive at the same time. And what a wonderful thing that we miss out on, that blessing, when we just allow ourselves to be TV zombies.
Absolutely. And another thing that it can do for us is bring us great enjoyment and laughterness and happiness.
Laughterness.
Oh, man. Laughter. Is that better? Is that
sure,
a real word?
I'll take it. I actually think I prefer laughterness.
All right. So it brings you great laughterness. And laughterness is a good thing to have in your life. God wants us to enjoy our time here. He wants us to enjoy our time together. And TV can sometimes provide that, of course, in moderation. But it can be a good way to just sit back, relax, and have some fun and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, and I think that's the beautiful thing, and really a strong point that we want to end on, is that we do have freedom in Christ. And we don't want to rob you of that. And we find ourselves saying that probably on every single episode, because when we're talking about these topics in light of eternity, we're not focusing on the fact that we do have freedoms in Christ. We are focusing on something different, but that's not to negate our freedoms, okay? So we just want to help you have more treasures in heaven, have a more fruitful, meaningful life, and have a bigger impact on the kingdom of God, because it does matter. But one thing I can say, just personal experience, back in late November, I just had this bug to watch some kind of those sweet, Hallmark-y types of Christmas movies. And I had really strict guidelines. They could not use the Lord's name in vain. They, you know, they had to be PG or lower. And I really stuck to those guidelines. I actually have a profanity filter for Netflix so I could filter out and make sure I wasn't having to hear anything that I did not want to be a part of. And I felt myself throughout the course of about a month, I was probably watching a movie every single night. And I'm normally such a productive, high intentionality, high intensity person where I'm either working or homeschooling or working some more or serving my family or cleaning or reading my Bible, doing my Bible study, getting sleep. And it was so valuable for me to take that time over the course of a month to just do something where I could completely turn my brain off. And over the course of the month, I found myself happier. And, you know, I would never say this, except I experienced it. It lightened something in me, and I'm not doing that anymore. I think that that was a good season of about a month or a month and a half for me. And now I'm ready to move on and go back to a more intensely intentional life, for lack of a better phrase. But I really saw God helping me and blessing me and working in me through that time of just kind of letting go a little bit and enjoying.
Let's do some practical steps. What can we do to make this real?
Okay, so I'm guessing that we've given you a lot of things to think about. I don't know where you are in your journey, but I would suggest just really practically to try a TV fast, whether that's 1 week, 1 month, 9 days, 40 days, I don't know, whatever you think is practical for yourself, do a TV fast and allow that to really clear your mind so that you can evaluate and make a good decision about the role that you want TV to play in your life. And then when you're ready or when that set time has come to an end, you can step back in with kind of new guidelines for yourself that you are going to follow.
Another thing you can do is if you are married, have a conversation with your spouse. First of all, they know your habits. They probably know what you're doing. So it's a great person and a great resource to acknowledge how much time you're actually spending watching TV and what you're actually watching and what you're doing. So that's one reason. You've got that accountability built in. And number two, it helps just to actually vocalize some of these things and vocalize your thoughts and help each other and spur each other on to better yourselves, and you get that accountability and you have a way, an outlet just to express what you're thinking in your mind. Because I found myself at times like thinking in my head, man, I really got to stop watching so much TV or doing X or doing Y. And it helps me just to vocalize that and tell that to Katie, because now I know she can help me watch for that, or I've said it. So now I need to back it up with some action. So that's another good thing to do.
Another quote I came across, which is just so interesting. I love these amazing one-liners that just make you think. This was said by Henry Nouwen. You don't think your way into a new kind of living. You live your way into a new kind of thinking. And that is what we're suggesting to you. We've given you a lot to think about. You've been thinking along with us for the past 30 minutes. This is one of our longest episodes ever. But it's when you actually put feet to it, try it, and experience the fruit of it, that's what will change your thinking. So sometimes it just takes living it and see what happens.
We're going to leave you with a verse in song. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step by the Spirit. It's Galatians 5:22-25. We'll see you next time.
Peace.